Welcome to Starfleet Universe Encore. I am Paul Franz, owner of Franz Games. I'm an SLP Online, Bedcom Online, and Starfleet Warlord. Just to remind how to join us, we have Talkcast every Thursday night starting at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can either call on the phone, dial 605-562-0444. Just follow the directions. The call ID is 17702. Or you can participate on the web. Just go to the TalkShoe website at www.talkshoe.com and search for call ID 17702 or SFU on call or Starfleet Universe on call, whatever you want, and you will find us there. Now, if you want the best online experience, you want to go to twitch.tv, yes, twitch.tv/SFU on call, and you will find us there. You will join the chat room and join the other people that are there and have a wonderful time. It's always good to see so many people in the chat room. Now, of course, this lovely Talkcast gets turned into a podcast available on iTunes and various other feeds around the net. Some quick news from A to B this week. Steve Petrick is still working on the Orion Master Starship book. Last week, they released an updated version of Module R6, just a reminder. I know this is a repeat from last week, but I figured it was important, so I repeat it this week. And this week, found in the online store, was For the Glory of the Empire. It's $14.95. This is a book that contains stories that, and there are coming scenarios that were previously published in different captain's logs. There are five of them right here, which is For the Good of the Empire. In this story of what happens, there. A Klingon military and intelligence hires an Orion pirate ship to carry its agent into enemy territory, but can the pirates can be trusted? Then another one is The Threads of War. Tells the story of a Kurgan who steps into the middle of a political fire while in pursuit of an Orion pirate ship. Another one is Flotilla Commander. Explores the adventures of a gunboat commander on the Klingon Zinni lines. Another one is A Plague on Their Houses. There's a story of what happens when a disgruntled crewman takes revenge upon its Klingon overlords. And last and certainly not least, which is Fight Fire with Fire. This is a story of vengeance. This time it is the Tholians who must pay. Moving on, moving forward, just a reminder that there should still be a 15% discount on new and enhanced fine detail plastics. The Clear Ultra offers a remarkable combination of durability and flexibility, while Gray provides a solid base for showcasing intricate details. To take advantage of an exclusive 50% discount, apply the code FDP15. At checkout for purchases of $5 or more. Moving on and forward, of course, we have the SLB Online Tournament, the Sapphire 15 Tournament. Round two is halfway complete. We got two of the four games are now completed. Both Jeff Clark and Peter Bakia both have made it to the semifinals rounds. So we have two people already there. Unfortunately, they can't fight each other for the finals. They're on two different sides of the bracket. So we have to wait, unfortunately. Moving on forward, the library, there's no progress there either. No updates from Frank. I do have some updates from Frank, which I have to sit down and actually go through and update. And also I had to go through the general ships and clean them up, fix them up, and so forth. I got to see where that lies in my orders of priorities of things that I need to accomplish with SLB Online. And it comes to FedCom Libraries. There's no updates there. And with that is the news for this week. And it's me, it's the one Paul Friends welcoming you to Star Wars the Universe On Call. And tonight, we've got Doug. Say hi, Doug.
Hello.
And we have Jeff. Say hi, Jeff.
Good evening, everyone.
And me, I'm going to, at the moment, bring up that and hope that... Okay. I'm having a little technical difficulties here. Not sure why at the moment.
Nope.
Ah, there
today
it is.
That ends in Y.
Okay. Cool. There. I've got things set up. It was just... let's not do this. Okay. I got complete mute my iPad so I can see the Twitch chat and also I can see what I'm actually broadcasting what I'm recording, what it looks like and so forth. Usually it's delayed by a few seconds, which is fine. It's always, I still remember doing that, the one Origins, where I was recording things for the podcast, you know, and which was great because of what was it called? Basically, ADB would have a get together where they say cause these are new products that are coming
along.
Out. The sing along, yes, that's it. Though no one did any singing, which is a good thing, especially Steve Cole. I don't think Steve Cole would really sing.
Disappointed in that. Thank you. I think we should have sang at the sing along. Okay,
no.
But that's just me.
No, I understood. But yeah, I was recording the one time, and actually, I was also monitoring what was being recorded because I wanted to make sure that the recording was good, that the levels were good, especially when other people talked and so forth. And because the monitor actually delayed itself by a few seconds, so it was really weird when I would talk and then I'd hear myself talk like a few seconds later.
That's generally how that setup works.
Yeah. I would never change it for the world, but it was just weird when I had to do that, and I got used to it. You know, I got used to the whole idea of hearing myself talk, you know, on a delayed loop. And also anyone else, the same thing would happen when anyone was going through the microphone, that I'd hear it and then I'd hear it in my ears a second time just a few seconds later. But it gave me a good idea of volume levels and so forth. So it worked out nicely. It was one of those weird things. But anyway, talking about Origins.
Okay.
Well, the topic for tonight actually is going to be tournament ship tactics. We might stick to one, or we might actually visit a few of the matchups. What inspired me this was I was looking at the Sapphire Star 15 tournament, and I was looking at it. Let me bring this up, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to bring that up so. Hopefully other people can see what I'm doing, which is, if you see here, on for those of you on the video, you can see that, okay, currently, okay, Peter Bakia, who's in the Gorn, he has made it to the semifinal round, but his opponent, which is also right now on round two, Mad Jack is in the Gorn, and Madman is in the Neothonian, which either one is going to make a very, in my mind, it's going to be a very interesting matchup for the semifinal round for Peter Bakia. And that is either we're going to have a Gorn Civil War, which in my mind sucks because you have exactly the same plasma ships and when it comes to Civil Wars, it all depends. It's going to completely define each person, the way each person plays is going to define the tactics the other person plays. it's going to be weird. The question with plasma versus plasma, is it going to be a big long plasma ballet, or is it going to be a quick shoot and kill, i.e. doing bolting of the plasmas? And at least in my mind, there's more we can discuss about that a little bit later, but I just want, that's a quick analysis of that. But again, the other possibility is that Madman, who's in the Neo-Tholian, who's facing a Gorn, is going to have to go on to the semifinal rounds and what? Face another Gorn. To me, I
had noticed that there were a number of Gorns in the tournament this time around.
Yeah. We had what? Okay, we had 1, 2, 3? Yeah. Three Gorns. We had one Orion, one Wibbis, one Orion, one Wax, one Hydran, there's two axes, two different packages, but two of them. And yeah, actually, there's two Hydrans. Actually, there was two Hydrans and one ISC, one Archaeotholian, one Neotholian, and two Klingons. So, interesting breakdown. Of course, that definitely could. We could have a repeat. Because I'm looking at this because of. We have for round two, we have a very, very, very classic battle. Klingon versus Zinni. And we've got Bill Scheller, a multi-rated ace, multi-gold hat winner, I think. I think he's at least won one gold hat, if not, and he did that in the Fed. I forget if he had another gold hat or not. And we have David Zimbers. Zimbers. Who's in the Zinni. Another very experienced player who's played the Zinni 4 years. So much so that we went when Barry and I went up to Schenectady, New York, for their tournament. It's like 5 years ago or more at this point. I know it was before the pandemic. When we went up there, David Zimbars had a clinic on tactics. He was showing, discussing mainly the Zinni. Because the good thing about the Zinni, in my mind, is the Zinni is very, I was going to say flexible, but that's not the right word I want to really use. It's not really flexible. It's more of, it's tough. Got a number of quite a bit of hull and rear and forward hull, obviously a lot more rear hull than forward hull because it's the way it's designed. And it has has the four drones, it has four phaser ones. Now obviously because of the way the Zinni's made, it's got a lot of phaser threes. So it's meant for close-in fighting. But, of course, then you have the drones, which is also good designed for far-away fighting, or at the very least, which I've always said, which is drones are basically mobile terrain. So the idea is you get enough drones on the board, and because also the Zinni, remember the Zinni has double control rating. So the Zinni has double control rating, which means it can have 12 drones on the board at one time. Now, obviously, you would want to avoid that at most cost because of if you put that many drones on the board at the same time, and dollars to donuts, the player is going to stop or very least slow down the speed 4 and wild weasel all those drones. And that's three. That's half your drones right there. Actually, more than half if you have any of your type four drones in there. Because type 4 drones are two space drones. And you only get six spaces. You have 4 6-space racks. So, and of course, again, it's a classic battle because you got the Klingon, who's only got two drone racks, but he's got an ad rack. And what he's going to use the ad rack for is most probably going to be pinking on those drones. He's got a decent amount of defensive slash offensive fire because, remember, the Phaser 2s can be used defensively, but also they could be used offensively, not as, you know, come on, hold on for a moment. Okay, Kitty, before you do something crazy, so you can use it, but because there are waste phasers, when it comes to the Klingon is most probably going to be either using it for defensive fire or opportunity fire for offensive fire. And if you use it for defensive fire, I might just use it as a phaser 3 just to save the power because of phaser 2 takes a whole point. And actually, that means the capacitor can hold a full point of power in it. But if you're just using it as a phaser 3, you know, it definitely helps in that regard in keeping your phasers more charged than normal, you know, versus the phaser 2, which
always a challenge keeping that phaser capacitor charged. Never seems to be enough phaser capacitor.
I think that's true for any ship overall.
Yep.
You know, though, obviously the thing with the Gorn of COVID obviously is that it's the arcs for the phasers lends itself to, you know, not firing every single phaser that you've got. You know. But
well, they don't really focus everything in one spot.
What was it?
The Klingon has a nice straight down the back shot.
Oh yeah.
Tempting to use
the old Klingon phaser hose.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. So that I agree. That's one of the things you have to keep an eye out for. With the Klingon is chasing him, he can definitely give you the phaser hose. But you know, and the Zindi, the Klingon, the Gorn, the Tholian. You're going the standard tactics define that when it comes to power allocation, most of the time, what's the first weapon you recharge? You recharge the phasers. Now, the Gorn has an issue with that, of course, which is they have to reload their plasmas. Even they don't want to, they kind of have to, because they're probably gonna need those plasma in another two turns. You know,
and they don't have the battery capacity to rolling delay both S torps and arm them mid turn as S torps.
Right, that is true. That is true. You can do that for one, but not for two.
Yeah. And the thing is that if you through EA. Allocate enough power to finish arming an S-torp, you can't hold the thing. You gotta use it or lose it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's one of those interesting things where you see, you generally see most of the people that in the current tree when they're playing the Gorns for what you'll commonly see as an enveloper pop out. And they'll never go for a full plasma alpha, mainly because they don't have the power for it.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. Now, that's actually one of the tournament matchup that I really wanted to talk about, which was the Gorn versus Neo-Tholian, because it. Were you moaning? Doug.
Oh, sorry.
Oh,
it's okay.
Yeah, I was going to say that's actually a very interesting fight because of the sheer capacity for like slowing down all the plasma.
Yep.
Yeah, that's right. Web is one of the few things that actually will interact with plasma.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it will.
And he's got those. If I recall correctly, doesn't the Neothalia and the Archaeothalia both have like the snare on there? In addition to the web casters.
Yes. 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 In the case of the Archaeothalia, he's got two snares. The Neothalia has the one, but it can go right or left.
Right. The Neothalium has the broadside snare arcs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So he's got his own, like, mobile terrain. Well, not really mobile terrain, but terrain he can make that
custom
slows
terrain.
Down the mobile terrain of the game.
Yeah.
But, sorry, I've just been having this cough killing me for the last couple days.
Mm-hmm.
Won't go away. But, I'm covering my mic when it hits.
Okay.
Hopefully that works.
Okay, cool. Yeah, because to me, the obvious one is going to be the main webcaster in the Neothalian, and because it's really interesting in my mind because of you've got the main there's two ways the Tholian can play it out. And it's probably, I would think it's going to be one than the other. But that's my personal opinion. I've never actually tried playing this matchup. And to me, the way the Neothalian uses the webcaster is going to be based on the Gorn. Because the Gorn launches the plasmids early, which it probably will. Use the webcaster to block that and force the Gorn to come in closer. Or at the very least, get it so that, you can run, basically, get close to the Gorn, with the Gorn being on the other side of the web. At least hope he accommodates this, because the problem is, the question is, if you put up the web, what happens then? Does the Gorn then just, do the whole...
Cooperate?
Well, launch the plasma and then run away.
Right. Is the Gorn's going to stand and fight? Is he going to cooperate in his destruction, or is he going to not let the web interfere? Because that's...
The other side is, how are you going to use your web?
Right.
I mean, it's actually really good for, like, running back through. And you go in and you make a battle pass, and you turn away because you can play a ranged game with mm-hmm. the Tholian.
Yep.
Because you've got, four disruptors? And, four disruptors, a handful of phaser threes. You can go in there and nibble a shield down, turn away, throw your webcaster up, and run right through the web. And yep. Any plasmas coming after, you're going to get caught in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Agreed.
But if you throw it at them as you're going in, he could just, you can give him enough time that he can just run around it.
Yep.
It all depends on... to commit to a direction. But, or you could run into it and not care, because it's only temporary terrain.
Mm-hmm.
That's true.
But it's temporary terrain that if you turn around and you run back through a nice, decent strength single bit of web, you could literally force his plasma to go into it and it loses 5 or 6 movement, depending on how long it's in there.
Right. And again, it depends on if you use the webcaster or the web snare. If you use the web snare, you can have it so it's two hexes of 5 or 1 hex of 10. And that's obviously because it's right and left makes it challenging to get it so that it is so that the plasma will actually enter in one of those hex, one or two of the one, either the one hex or the one of the two hexes. in my mind, the way I would see it played is that you use the webcaster to get like the first initial plasma wave and get that stuck in that main web and have it so that the Gorn either has to turn away or come close to the web, in which case you can fire your phasers at him as you're running, because you can run close to the web. Now, obviously, if the Gorn wants to, or it sees it advantageous, he might actually run directly into the web himself and then fire on the Tholian. But and the Tholian has to be very cognizant of that, because if he wants to do that, the best way to avoid that is drive into the web yourself. You know, have it so that when he's coming towards the web, you're going towards the web too, and so that if you're really lucky, have it so that he's stuck in the web at the same time you're in the web, in which case he can't fire at you.
Ship stuck in web can fire out of it, but they can't fire through it.
Yeah, but he can't fire right through it. And that's it.
What he means is you put an extra hex between you two, right. So he can't fire through the hex at you.
Right.
I know what you're saying. So, yeah, there's all sorts of little tactics like that that can be done.
Yep. And which of course comes back to the Gorn, which is, what does the Gorn do? The Gorn has two options in this matchup. One, basically launch plasma and hope to either get the timing right so they can get the plasma without hitting a web. Or
yeah, it's going to come down to run and gun or Bolty McBolterson.
Yeah, exactly. That was the second scenario, which is bolting the plasmas, basically acting as a poor man's Fed. You know, and because obviously the big issue with the Gorn is plasma. If you try to do it like a Fed, you only get you still require three turns versus the Fed only requiring two turns. So it makes it a little more difficult in that case. Obviously, you can do a combination in that. I can see launching the plasma Fs to, at the very least, have it so that the Tholians might not be as gung-ho about coming directly in on the Gorn. But and save the S's for the bolting.
Yeah, the problem with doing that is that if you're going to commit to a bolting game, then the Gorn's going to either have to run at high speed to try to close the distance, and that has its own issues when. What is it, speed 13 or higher? You fly into web, you potentially take damage?
There's a speed issue.
I'd have to look
there,
it up.
But, I think it may be higher than that. But the flip side of all that is that it's a timing issue, too, because the web isn't instant. It has to solidify, and usually you can react in that time. And
that's
like
true. And,
go
and
around
you,
it,
and you can,
or straight
the
through it before
the thing
before
is
solidified.
A high speed Gorn has turn mode issues. They are not the most maneuverable vessels out there.
Yep.
So it's it's like the old joke is the Gorn shipyards orient their battle cruisers in the shape and the direction of the enemy because you're not turning until you get to the next parsec.
Well, that's what they call the battle tugs.
Yeah,
it's
called a bathtub for
tubs.
A reason. It's a bathtub.
Yeah. But You know, it's an interesting, thing to throw around with the thing is, if you're going to play the bolt game, you do have a middle of the road option that gives you firepower on two of three turns. All right, you go on the turn immediately after you do a full bolt, you got nothing. But on the second turn after, you can fast turn F and bolt your S's.
Mm-hmm.
And the turn after that, you can bolt your F's.
Right.
And you can turn around. And while that drops you down to roughly 20 points of close range attack power.
Right.
It's... You know, you follow it up with a couple of phaser ones inside of range five, and it's a pretty decent little bread and butter attack that you just can't ignore.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't brick it up high enough to stop it. Not without star castling, and that would give up the Neotholians advantages.
Right. Agreed. Yeah, that was the one thing I was concerned about with bolting and with the S's, and if you bolt them at the same time, which is, of course, the power drain to final on that final turn. You're going to have 6 points of energy that you need to do just for those S's. That's assuming you haven't also bolted the F's, because if you're trying to also reload the F's, you've got that's 12 points of power. On one
it'll
turn,
it'll catch up with you.
Yeah, exactly. So, which is that's.
And if you're bolting them, you're getting half damage in them.
Right.
That's true.
That's
getting half
that's
damage.
Problem. And you're it's a thing huge is, trade off.
Yep.
But one of the things the Gorn is one known for and two really good for is to get into a firing position at the very end of the turn, and then on impulse one, you've got EA to handle everything. Yeah, just turn around and you just stand and deliver. And then you just sit there until you can build your speed back up while you're reloading your torps.
Understood. Yeah, the
one... probably one of the reasons why the Gorns are designed with a quadrant defense set up for their phaser arcs.
Mm-hmm.
It's because they turn so slowly, it's hard to get most of the. There's no real blind spot in the Gorn arcs like there are in some other designs. Like
right.
For example, the Federation, you get in towards about the, not the line of hexes directly behind
right, but
the ship, but just to either side of it,
mm-hmm.
And it's a kind of a blind spot.
Agreed. I don't think I've even participated in, because I'm of all the people that are online, I think I'm the one who plays it the ship the most, which is the Seltorian, and I don't think I've ever actually played against a Tholian. You know
how ironic is that?
Oh, I know. I know. It's the one matchup. It's like, ooh, I would love to have that.
That's just the nature of people picking tournament ships.
Right. Oh, understood. You know,
that is.
You know, Tholian and Neotholian are not exactly among the top picks.
Yeah. And for very specific reasons, they require specialized knowledge that a great number of players never invest in, because unless you're fighting a three ring circus or a buzzsaw one scenario over spring break or something, most players tend to not deal with that, but with web all that well.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is an added complication.
Oh, understood. Yeah, it's bad enough dealing with cloaks, you know, especially Running a cloak ship can be is a challenge all by itself in my mind. Just because of you have to, when you actually cloak your ship, your first thought should be, okay, how am I going to get my butt out of the, you know, uncloak it and not get myself killed uncloaking in the middle, uncloaking my ship.
That's why for many years, the tactic for the Romulan tournament players was, start decloaking Wild Weasel.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as you're fully phased in, full alpha strike on the plasma, start cloaking out and Wild Weasel again. You do it right, you're never without the +2 shift. And it's about the only thing that keeps some of the slow Romulan players from getting absolutely creamed when they decloak to drop their plasma. It is an interesting set of circumstances.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
I think there were a couple of major Origins tournaments that were won using that tactic.
Mm-hmm. That would not surprise me. I'd have to... I
remember reading about it in Captain's Log years ago.
Yeah, I'd have to... It's been a while, because I know when they had the Gold Hat tournament, I would read almost every single article when it comes to what they were playing. I still remember Bill Scheller flying the Federation and him saying at the beginning of the article, my tactic was this: do my best to get into range 2 where I had the best chance of hitting with all 4 photons. Yeah, he would never go, well, can't say never, because he actually did do it in one of the games, which is not the whole go to range 8, pray that it hits, and run away. Because that was the way you got yourself killed. Goofball.
Oh, dude, I remember one Origins where the Fed tactic that won the tournament, the Gold Hat, was the dude was just running around with props, photons, and never slowing down. And he just whittled his opponent down over time.
That's playing the long game.
But
that's the Federation version of the saber dance, and it takes a very special eye towards maneuver and tactics to make that work.
Right.
But yeah, it's viable.
Yeah, and it does. Yeah, it's very viable.
Oh, yeah. At the same time, there is a 3-hour limit on games when it comes to Gold Hat. You know, the only time that you can fly more than three hours is the finals. The finals, you have as much time as you need.
I remember, the last thing you want to do is to adjudicate the match for the finals. That's a good way to get people screaming.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Oh, I remember them adjudicating matches when they hit the 3-hour limit. And
I ran a tournament where I had to do that a couple of times.
And I just remember watching them do it at Origins.
Yep.
I remember being subjected to that once.
Yeah.
That's not fun.
No.
There's a reason why the rules state that you can't quote unquote get ahead on points and then break combat until time runs out.
Yeah. I still remember putting in those rules. Oh. I remember the player. Jason Gray. I remember that guy.
Oh no. His name is remembered for the reason.
Yes, and realize something. He is currently online.
Oh no!
He's Australian, and he came in. I still remember the year he came in. He actually flew all the way from Australia, and he made his money using poker. That was his main source of income, was playing poker, and he was good at it. Yeah, because what he would do is he would hit his opponent hard and then like Star Castle. Not engagement. And that's when they had to come up with the rules when it comes to that, whole situation. Because originally the rules didn't have them in it.
Nope.
Oh.
Yeah.
That was an awful thing. And when it comes to being a judge, right here, because after I got my radius card, I went, okay, I'm good. I got what I wanted to accomplish, which was game over the ace card. And after that, I was a judge for the rest of it. The rest of the time that we had the gold hat tournament, came to Origins, and all that kind of thing. So I volunteered all my time for A to B. Now, I can tell you that none of the judges actually liked to adjudicate, not a single one.
I didn't like doing it in the tournaments I ran.
Right. We prefer to have this play it out, but there was a 3-hour limit.
Yeah.
And the tough part is here for us, the one key here normally for us was talking to the players saying, okay, what is your plan? Now, one of the important things was when you told us your plan was to actually know that you had contingency plans, i.e., yep. Oh, if he does this, I will do this. So basically, tells us that you actually thought of what happens if this guy does this. Your opponent doesn't go along with the plan which you have specified. Say, oh, he's just going to come running right at me. Well, why would he do such a thing? What happens if he runs away? What happens if he goes to the right, to the left? And we can't. And the thing is, as judges, we can't prompt the players for that. We have to let them tell the story, tell what his tactics are, and so forth. And of course, the first thing is, of course, explaining key. Okay, this EA, what does it mean? Well, in some cases, some EAs were pretty bad.
I still remember the last tournament I ran. It was first round. The two players in question, one's brother-in-law, the other was a friend. And he wasn't my brother-in-law yet. But they got into it, and brother-in-law was playing the Fed, and the friend was playing the Klingon. The Klingon had plotted his EA to drop from speed 28 to, like, speed 14.
Okay.
It was, like, impulse 17. And it's, like, impulse 24, and he's still doing 28, charging down, and drops 4 overloaded disruptors. And so me and the other judge who was running the tournament going, I think we're going to call this one right now because the Klingon engineer is not allowed to do the power dance on the bridge during tournaments. he had literally spent almost 8 points. He had moved almost 8 points worth of power he didn't have when he dropped an Alpha Strike with four overloaded disruptors and a huge phaser volley.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like,
oopsie.
Yeah. And the thing is that when you get to the point where you have to adjudicate the thing, the first thing you do is you give a quick once over of both sets of EAs, because if somebody's made a boo-boo like that could have been game changing. There's your answer right there. And you don't even have to explain why.
Oh, agreed. That's the first thing you do. And actually, if you read the module T rules, that's the first thing you do is you.
And actually, the rules say not to ever explain why you do what you do is if you adjudicate somebody, because that causes other issues. But the thing is that if you can point to something like your EA is faulty, you spent more power than you actually had, there's no coming back from that.
Oh, agreed. And that's why the first thing you do is you go through the EA and you go, okay, is this 100% valid? And if there's questions, yeah, have those questions answered. Because in some cases, the way the person annotated their EAs was not 100% clear.
We had one guy that was really good at writing really, really small. And he would write lots and lots of text in those EA boxes. And the problem was, is that unless you got a magnifying glass out, nobody could read them, including him. So we never caught him. We never caught him, but we always wondered if he didn't smudge something here and there so he could change the story on what the annotation meant if it didn't go his way.
Interesting.
He was a slick one. That's one of the things I do like about the online client is that there is ample room to make whatever notes you need to make.
Mm-hmm. Oh yes, I remember about that. Which is you asked about having the ability to actually know what's a read-only field, what's a read-write field.
Right, when a box locks, it change mm-hmm. the color on it or something slightly so that you can tell, oh, I can't go back there and actually change this now. I need to use a new notes field mm-hmm. or what have you.
Yeah, yeah. Most notes fields automatically lock. No, actually, I think all the notes fields actually lock because the whole idea of the notes fields down the bottom is that you annotate things at the beginning. You know, okay, you might put down, okay, I'm repairing this box or whatever in those notes. And I want to make sure that you can't modify those in the middle of the term. Now, obviously, you can actually, it locks at the time you submit your EA. So in theory, you could submit the EA and then modify it later. So there's only so much I can do when it comes to keeping people honest, you know?
Well, the thing is that if you're going to spend that kind of effort into cheating in a game like this, what have you really won? Nothing.
Exactly.
Nothing at all.
Yeah, pretty much. You've won the annoyance of your opponent.
Okay. Yeah, I can say I beat so and so, but the thing is, I doubt I could do it twice, and I doubt I could do it on pencil and paper. So what's it really mean? It doesn't mean anything. And the thing is that even if you lose to a gold hat or a rated ace, and you learn something or have fun, then hell, you lost and you still had fun. So you're positive on points there.
Yep. Agreed.
So, yeah.
Sorry for the tangent.
I have a trivia question for you, Paul.
Shoot.
That's okay. This has been one long tangent. So, I got a trivia question for you, Paul.
Shoot.
Years ago, when we were at Grantville with gamers,
mm-hmm.
and we had some people running some SFB with miniatures, do you remember who that was?
Well,
off
actually,
the top of your head.
Well, I actually did some run some games with miniatures. At one point because of I sold my collection, I call it my tournament collection, which is all of the tournament ships, well, the standard tournament ships, as miniatures, which I got, which Aaron Staley actually painted them up for me. Are you thinking of someone who brought more than just, you know, some individual ships?
Not really. I think it was just some individual ships.
Okay, that probably was me.
They may have had like a fleet box or something with them. I just remember there being like some mini setup for other games.
Yeah. Oh,
I just remember when our group played with miniatures. This would have been 90, 96, 97, maybe 98. You guys remember Micro Machines?
Yep.
Well, the Micro Machines released a set of Paramount licensed ships, and everybody in our local group bought the sets, and we were using them to play with miniatures. Oh, I hadn't thought about that in years.
Mm-hmm.
I remember one of our better miniature painters had taken a Q-tip that was not your standard cosmetic Q-tip, but this is really long, large Q-tip that was made specifically for cleaning M16s that he had when he was in the Marines. And he stretched the cotton out and then painted it up to look like a plasma torpedo. I mean, it was fun.
Oh, wow.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's pretty common. Yeah. I've seen that done a lot.
Yeah, I was hoping that I had them up here, but I don't.
Gamers.
Yeah, what about gamers?
Yeah. Speaking of gamers, you want to submit a list soon?
Yes. Yes,
like fairly soon.
Yes, because we're gonna be, it's gonna be in February, so, which is only 4 months away. So,
which is only about a few months away.
Mm-hmm. We'll do. We'll do.
Poke.
Yes, we actually. It's gonna be over. It's gonna be the President's Day weekend.
Red Lion. President's Day weekend, 17th, 18th, 19th, I think it is in February.
Mm-hmm.
It's a Monday holiday.
Right.
And on an interesting aside, just, you know, and I hope to remember to plug this part each time, the hotel itself, the rooms will be sold out, but the meeting rooms will be available for us.
Mm-hmm.
But there's according to the guy that does the rental, there's a very large group that books the hotel solid, but they don't use the meeting rooms. And I yet to explain why, and I'm not going to try to figure that one out. But
yeah.
There it is. So if anybody wants to rent a room in the winter, you got to get it now or you're not getting it. And you're probably not going to get it anyways if they've already booked it solid. So
Wow. There
you go. But it's actually like there's at least one, two, there's like three or four hotels within like a minute drive of that one. So.
Understood. You
know, unless you're driving for 6 feet of snow, we should be okay.
Yeah, but I don't think we'll have 6 feet of snow because I'm sorry.
It is February.
Jeez.
Mm.
Was it not this past? I think was it 2022?
If we have 6 feet of snow, I'm going to ask him to put cots out.
Mm-hmm.
We'll just like have a big old camp in.
Yeah.
Slumber party!
You want to play for 24 hours straight? Go right ahead.
Yeah, I think the hotel will say.
Bring the s'mores.
Well, we'll find some extra pillows here and some blankets.
I think they would be cool with it.
It was a lot of snow. Where we actually were snowed in, I think they'd say, we'll figure out something.
Yeah, here, have some food, too, because we pity you. Yeah. Huh? Yes, please.
That sounds like that'd be a lot of fun.
Yeah, probably would be.
Hey, I'm knocking wood, but we still haven't been snowed out yet.
Yeah, we had that 1 year, I think it was last year, might have been this past year, or the year before, where we just got a little bit of snow, so things were kind of scary. You know, for me anyway.
One of the times at Grantville, we actually had a bunch of snow. And one of the times at the Moose Lodge, Mm-hmm. We had a good dumping of snow.
Yeah. But
neither of them was like enough to shut it down.
Right. And the fortunate part about
Which
it now.
Kind of
yeah, the good thing was that it didn't snow while it snowed beforehand. So they were able to clear the roads. So we were fine to get there. Yeah, 'cause I remember the Moose Lodge and having the big piles of snow.
Yeah.
I saw a little bit of that white stuff earlier today in Wyoming.
Mm-hmm.
It's coming.
Oh yeah. Is it El Nino, I think it is?
Yeah, they're calling for a particularly miserable winter out this way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought I saw something about California supposed to get in the like next week or so, supposed to get a lot of rain.
Somebody, I can't remember who was talking about it, but somebody was saying that some of the people at the Caltrans folks are preparing to get a winter like they had last year, with a above average snowpack that hangs around for a lot longer.
Well, that could be good. That could be bad.
It all just depends, doesn't it?
Yeah.
That's why we call it the weather, because we don't know whether it'll do it or not.
Yar.
Yes, I know. It's about like the old joke about why is the game called golf, and it's because explicative was already taken.
Yep. Oh, I like
that. I agree. That's a good one. That is a good one.
Anybody who's ever tried to pick up that game, it's like,
yeah,
slice it off into the woods, and what do you say?
It's another four-letter word that golf is not.
Yes, it is. Yes. And since we're trying to stay family friendly, I'm dancing very hard not to say it here.
Thank you very much. I don't want to get tagged by YouTube and go, here's a bad word. It's like, oh, crap. Damn. Okay. Well, actually, with that, I think, guys, we will wrap it up for this evening. Because it seems like a good spot.
It does at that, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. So, Jeff, you stay safe out there and take care.
I'll do it. Good evening, everybody.
Doug, it's always wonderful to have you around. And, of course, work on that cough.
Oh, thank you. Let me know when you want to pop up and talk about stuff for a while.
Okay, we'll do.
Drop me a message. Let me know when you want to come out.
We'll
I'll
do.
Be here.
I'm sure you will.
Thank you.
Okay, bye. So, has a nice little talk about certain tactics when it comes to the Gorn versus Tholian. You know, the didn't get talked too much about the Klingon versus Zinni, but come on. It's the classic attack. You know, it's going to be somewhere between a saber dance and a knife fight between the two, because that's what you do in those two, when you have those two ships fighting. As I said, the funny part I think about the tournament is that, and actually here's another funny part, it is possible that Peter Bakia fought a Klingon on the first round. It is possible that he might actually have to fight Bill Scheller in the Klingon and in the final. So there are a lot of repeats through this whole, it could be so many repeats in the whole thing. It's just crazy. You know, next one could be, as I said, it could be a Gorn Civil War. It could be a repeat for Madman, which is going to be fighting off another Gorn. You know, it's going to be crazy. So with that, I'm Paul Franz, and I bid you a good night.